We are wrapping up Perek Beis, where he talks about taiva, and we were talking about all the nisyonis of taiva, and that the more a person has taiva, the more they have chibut hakever, the more after the mace, their body wants more, etc. The very last ois in Perek Beis, ois and gimel, he says, a taiva ain roi leilach acharei kla. Says taiva, you should never give in to your taiva. It's never a good idea to give in to taiva. However, and we said before, the taiva usually tells you, you know, keep learning, do all your things, but do taiva. So it's never given to taiva. Aval chemdas haparnasa, but chemda, which is to want what the other guy wants, v'hamaman in osa l'gamri. A person is allowed to desire parnasa, kavosha kasev, l'mani v'racha chashem al-kafa, there's a pasuk that says you'll get bracha. If getting bracha is not good, so why does the Torah say that? It must be, it's not that bad to get bracha. So taiva, which is physical enjoyment, you should avoid. Money, parnasa, it's good to have a good parnasa. It's okay to have a good parnasa. You shouldn't make that the focal point of your whole life, but it's okay to have a good parnasa because you see that when you do good things, Hashem promises you, you'll have parnasa. So obviously it's good. So therefore, you're allowed to desire that. Rak shiye be'emuna. It's good, provided it's with emuna. V'lo yiga b'mamayin she'enoi shaloi. And you shouldn't have any shaykhis to money that's not yours, that's not coming to you. So it's okay to have money. It's okay to have parnasa and be successful in parnasa. Nothing wrong with that. The Torah says, you know, wishes it on. But the question is, when does it turn into taiva? And when does it turn into wanting something that's not coming to you, right? So, and he says, you need a muna for that. This is very interesting. I heard once from Ravaran, B'shem Ravaran Kotler. You know, we've been talking about Eina and Melvadoi, and we're talking about how the recognition that everything comes from Hashem. So really, a person has to think that when I'm doing Hishtadlos, I'm not doing anything. And I'm just there, and now Hashem is giving me the money. That's really the machshava we're supposed to have. But the mice is not so easy to have that machshava, right? So, are we really on that level? So Byron used to say, look, I'm not saying you're on that level. I'm not saying that you're on the level that you can think to yourself, I've been garnished, and I've been garnished, I'm doing nothing, my shtadlus is useless. You're not on that level. But you should have the minimal emuna to say that if something is incorrect and it's wrong, that, okay, this hishtadlus is not going to get me anything. That's the minimal. This is the way Hashem is going to nashpia to me. This hishtadlus, which is stealing, this hishtadlus, which is incorrect. The minimum emuna is mechayev, that you shouldn't get involved in a hishtadlus, which is incorrect. That doesn't mean that when you're doing the right hishtadlus, you have to be mevatel yourself and say, you're not on that level to say, you know, it's not me. I get that. But the concept of, to at least understand, like the Goin says, the lo yiga b'mama chen shaloi, that comes from emuna also. Now, in Perek Gimel, he starts a new inyan, and he says, very, very important concept. And he says like this. So what mida, we've been talking about the bad, the chemda and the taiva. So what mida combats chemda and taiva? How do you combat that? Taiva is the desire for more. Chemda is the desire to have what other people have. So how do you combat that?
We said taiva was Torah and mitzvot.
Right, so that's an action. What you have to do is Torah and mitzvahs. Right, that was against taiva. Right, but he says in the hashkafa of it, in the mida of it, which mida do you use? So he says that the mida you use is histapkus and bitachon. The two midas you have to have is histapkus b'muat, which is one level. I don't need everything. Histapkus, realize, you know, low maintenance, as they say, right? You shouldn't need that much. You should lower your standard. Histapkus, that's what that means. And then, bitachon, to realize that everything that you have, Hashem gives you. So histapkos, the way I understand it at least, he says it the opposite here. The way I understood it is that histapkos is the opposite of taiva. Because I don't need everything out there. I'm okay with what I have. And bitachon is the opposite of chemda. I don't need what he has because I'm bitachon. I know that Hashem gave me everything I need. You could say the opposite also, right? That there's bitachon and histapkos. Either way, but the idea is that histapkos and bitachon are the two sides of the coin. When a person is mistapik in, you know, happy with what they have, number one. Number two is, they have bitachon that Hashem gives them what they need. Those two things are combat the midah of chemda and taiva, which is, you know, driving a person to get more than what they have and get what the other person has. So the more a person has a bitachon, the more he'll be able to deal with this. And all of that, the person focuses and says, you know what? Hashem gives me what I need. And get rid of all the garbage. Get rid of all that distraction. I have what I need. That's it. I'm happy. Histapkos. Histapkos means what I have is for sure enough. What I have is for sure enough for some giving what I have for what I need. Right? So you realize I have it. Bitachon is even a higher level than that. But no, precious is actively pulling away. Look, you know, you don't have to run. So histapkos and bitachon. Ve'ikra ha'koel, but the main thing is what bitachon. That's bitachon. Then he says, "Umi shemchoser bitachon." Someone that doesn't have the proper bitachon, ain't teirasai miskayim biyada. He can't really have Torah either, obviously, because he's never going to have a minute of menucha. You can't learn if you don't have, if he doesn't have bitachon, so he doesn't have menucha senefesh. He has no clear mind. His mind's racing, right? How do I keep up? How do I keep up? How do I keep up? So he can't have any menucha. So how could he have Torah? Torah has to have a certain amount of menuchas and nefesh. So therefore, the opposite of chemda and taiva is histapkos and bitachon. The highest level of histapkos is bitachon. And bitachon leads to Torah learning, right? So it all comes together, right? You need it all. Now, he says, Lemaisa, an amazing piece over here. It's a bit involved, but more or less, we had an entire during Elul, during the 3 weeks, we had a shmooze from Rabbi Gruenstein. If you have a chance to listen to it, it was really fantastic. But we had a shmooze from Rabbi Gruenstein, who is the former rabbi in Young Israel, Bell Harbor, and he posed the following question. And he answered the question based on the following piece of the Gra that we're going to learn. Do you remember the Shmuz? No? So he said like this. The Gemara says that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah, Shvichus Damim, and Gilui Arayis, the three cardinal sins. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Gemara asks a question. It says, Bayis Sheini, Shayu Oiskim B'Toyra. Why was it broken? So the Gemara says, because of sin aschinam. So the Gemara says, which is worse? So the Gemara says, say b'doik babira. Yeah, if an edus, which is worse? The first place in which it was destroyed for 70 years. The second one was destroyed for over 2,000. So you tell me which is worse. It's obvious. Clearly, the Sinas Chinam is worse. So the question is, why? Why is it worse? I mean, they're Oisik in Torah, they're Oisik in Gmilas Chasadim. Okay, so they don't get along. I mean, well, why is that? It's very nice. It's a nice, you know, Musar Shmuz and all that. It's a nice Achtos, you know, it's a nice Shmuz. But I'm saying, Lemaisa, at the end of the day, the other people did major Averis, and these people did mitzvahs. So what's the deal? Well, why is Sinas Chinam worse? So he said the answer is with the going that we're about to read. And I see here, I don't think he made it up. I think that it's in the footnote, they explain it with the going. So the going, I'm going to go back to the beginning of Bei Zun, but he says like this, Mi shalibai toiv b'midas ha-bitachon. Someone that has real bitachon, Even though they're over on serious sins, who yoyser toiv, that person is better. That person who did a lot of averus, but he has he's mechusar, he has bitachon, is better off than the guy that has no bitachon. Why? Because with no bitachon, you know what happens? Boli de kina, he gets jealous, visina, and he starts hating people. Afal pi she'oisek b'toro v'gmilas chasadim. So he timed it. You notice the same words? The Goyim is referencing the Gemara. That the Gemara says, even though he's oisek in Torah v'gmilas chasadim, which is like the people in the Bayis She'ni, it doesn't matter because he has sinah. Where did the sinah chinam come from? So the Goyim, lack of bitachon. So it's not the sinas chinam only. The sinas chinam is a symptom. If a person, why do I hate this guy? Oh, of course I hate this guy. He's taking away my parnasa. I'm taking away parnasa. I'll be selling bitachon. Why do I hate this guy? He's taking my covet. He just got the job that I applied for. Right? Nothing, sinas chinam doesn't mean for no reason. It means that it's not for an appropriate reason. No one hates each other for no reason. You know, I don't do sinas chinam. Everyone I hate, I have a good reason to do it, right? That's what we're talking about. What do you think the sin we're talking about is? We're talking about people hating, go around hating people for no reason. Of course, I have a reason. But did you ask a rav to paskin that that reason is legitimate? Right? You can't just go around hating people. He took my parking spot. What do you mean? Of course, I have a good enough reason. Ask a rav. Is that a good enough reason to hate someone? You have to psak alacha. So zok the goyin, the sinna comes from a lack of bitachon. What do you care? Calm down. It's coming to you. What he's doing shouldn't bother you. It's eating you up alive because you don't have the bitachon. That's where the sinna is coming from. She calls the enoi, and he says, and if you don't have bitachon, so now we have a good kasha. Hold on. If you don't have bitachon, so why are you talking doing Torah and Gemilas Chasad? The kol zeh, that's a simon that all your mitzvahs, einoi el elo lasos leishein. You're only doing it for the covered. You're only doing it for the covered. That's what he says. So the goyin says, you know why the second base of mitzvahs is so much worse? Because outside, yeah, we're doing Torah or mitzvahs. Inside, you have no bitachon. So if you know bitachon, you have sinas chinam. Right? And guess what? If you have sinas chinam because you know bitachon, your Torah is also not really Torah. Right? Because you're just a faker. So Mamela, of course, the second base of mitzvah is much worse than the first. The first going is saying they had bitachon. So yeah, they had a big yetzer hara, but they had bitachon inside. So their outside was no good, but their inside was good. The second base of mikdash was the opposite. The outside, Torah Gmilas Chasadim, but their inside was flawed with lack of bitachon, and that's where the sinas chinam came from. It's amazing what the Goyim is doing here. So in the Goyim, in a different place, he says, this is a remez, that we know that there's four Goliaths, right? The four Goliaths is, Paras, Madai, Yavon, and then Edom. So he says that all four of those Goliaths represent one of the four non-kosher animals that the Torah talks about. So the first three are the first three. Arneves, right? Arneves, Gomel, and I don't remember the third one. So all of those, what was their problem? That they have, they chew their cud, but they don't have split hooves. So they don't have split hooves, they're treif. But Edom is connected to Chazir. The Chazir has split hooves, but doesn't chew its cud. So he says that that's the remnants. The Chazir is good on the outside, but in the inside, he's messed up. The other ones are good on the outside, inside, but they're bad on the outside. So he says that was the Avera. The Avera of the first three Goliaths was Averas on the outside. So the Goliaths was from animals, from those, that the animals from Tommy on the outside, but on the inside, they have the kosher simen. But the gullus of Edom comes from the Chazir, which is the remez to Mida Keneged Mida, that they were good on the outside. They had split hooves, and the Chazir shows everyone, hey, I've split hooves, everybody. But on the inside, it's a problem. And that was the problem of the bitachon, lack of bitachon that they had. So Mimela, that was a lot worse. That's the remez, that's what the Goyim says. There's a lot more to talk about over here, so we'll say another piece of the Goyim tomorrow about this. But this is his Yisoid. So it's important to keep in mind that the depth of the sin of Shechinam is really from the lack of bitachon. That's the pshat the Goyim is saying. Okay?
My pleasure.
Yeah.
This week's class. When you said giving into Tavot is a completely something like
complete what?
Giving into Tavot.
Yeah.
That it's, you can't have both. You can't give into your Tavot and be excelling in growth.
Right.
Why?
Because that means that your focus is on the goof. So it's a direct correlation. I'm not saying you can't at all, but to the degree that that's a focus, it's a distraction from this. You can't be equally focused on both. So to the degree, I'm not saying it's a 100 or all or nothing, but to the degree that there's a focus on this, that will take away the ability to focus on that. So you know what I mean? It's not an all or nothing scale, but it definitely is a correlation. That's my point. So if a person is, you know, is balanced, so they're balanced, so that's okay. But if a person's hyper-focused on their, you know, on all the, it's going to affect their ability to focus on ruchnis.
Okay.
You know, that was the Goyim's Yisoid. So, it's a different part of the brain. It's a different part of the body. It's a different part of the makeup of the human being, you know, so.
If somebody likes eating and he eats a lot.
Yeah, so they like him, but
is that going to really affect his ability to get close to Hashem?
That doesn't mean it's a focus. A focus means
it's a taiva that he gives into.
You're spending, you know, 4 hours a day, you know, spicing their meat and making sure the smoker is working just right and, you know, tuning it up and whatever. Like 6 hours before supper, they're already like, you know, the mouth is watering, like waiting for it. It's a focus. It's not just, okay, look, if you serve me a good meal, I'll enjoy it. I'm not talking about that. You know, it's the focus of it. It's like making it
right into if somebody's preoccupied with sports, for example, right, or so preoccupied with parnasa.
Hey, Adam, calm down there, Adam.
I can't. This the way he said it last week was more chamor, if you're doing.
Yeah, no. Sports is a different thing. That's just a distraction. This takes over. This is making the part of the makeup of the human being.
I think what he's not understanding is it's mamash means it's the focus means you're thinking about it all the time, not just the preparation, but in your mind you're seeing. Am I correct, Reb Lish? That's what you're trying to say. That your mom is thinking about the other stuff besides the Torah.
Right. You know, that becomes, so now you're making the goof the ikra. What you're running after in life is to make your goof the ikra, not the neshama the ikra. Another distraction, you have a hobby, that's not the same thing. You know what I mean? That I'll tell you a story with the Blade Malin. So there was a story with the Blade Malin, he was the Rosh Hashiva in the mirror in Beis HaTalma in Brooklyn. So there was a boy talking to him and learning. And he said, after the shir, and he says to him, after the shir, and the boy's like talking to him for like a half hour, and he says to the boy, you're not going down for lunch to the lunchroom? Why don't you go down for lunch? So the boy says, nah, I don't need lunch. I'm not going to go down to lunch for the lunchroom today. Today's meatballs. I don't like meatballs. So the Rishiva says, how do you know today's, you weren't there yet. How do you know it's meatballs? So he says, it's Tuesday. Tuesday's meatballs. So, hey, well, there's a sign somewhere that says Tuesday's meatballs. I said, no, Rebbe, but last Tuesday was meatballs. The Tuesday before was, I got the gist that Tuesday. So he says, you remember what they served a week ago? Tuesday was meatballs. You remember you go down, you eat because you need courage to come back for this rest of the day to learn. The minute you finish eating, you shouldn't even remember what they gave you to eat. Who cares? It was meatballs, not meatballs, chicken, ham, peanut butter and jelly. And the point is, the point is, who cares what they served you? Why do you even make? Why do you even remember that? So in other words, I'm not talking like a major level. He's just saying like, you eat for the right reason, and that's it. It doesn't have to be a whole avoida in and of itself. That's the point, because that is more than just a distraction. It becomes that the ikkar is the wrong part of your humanity. You're made of a guf and a neshama. So what are you making as your ikkar? That's the point. It's a concept you got to get used to, especially in this generation where we have everything, you know? So again, it's a matter of to the degree. It's not a matter of all or nothing, you know? So, all right.
Thank you,
Rabbi. We'll keep it up. All right, guys.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Bye.